Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
The Triple M Sunday Simbi.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Well, you know, of course we do it for the Mitsubishi Triton because you can't frighten a Triton. And also our mates at Tyre Power, thank you for bringing us the scores. Storm 27, Roosters 25, Raiders 22, Dragons 16, Parramatta 42, Cowboys 4, Sharks 40, Titans 10, of course Panthers 19, Tigers 12, and Warriors 26, the Broncos 16. Now that's the game we have all been focused on really today because we are certain people are a little surprised that Anthony Seibold is still the coach of the Brisbane Broncos after six straight losses. Nevertheless, the chairman, I beg your pardon, the chief executive, Mr. Paul White, fronted a press conference earlier today. So in brief, here is the press conference.
The group had, and also our coaching staff, to say we're gutted by where we sit after six straight losses would be an understatement. So I want to make it clear to particularly our members and supporters that everyone at this club's hurting at the moment, and in particular I think the action you saw from our players last night shows just how much they're hurting. I can't really comment on, you know, the why we're failing to close out games or you know, playing well for 40 minutes and then dropping off. I mean, that's up to our coaching staff and I guess the player group themselves to come up with those answers. But I do want to reassure everyone who supports our club that we are right behind our players and our coach and our coaching staff, because I think right at this period of time they certainly need a lot of support. And if we're going to get ourselves out of this, the place we're at right at the moment, we're going to have to continue to support that group of players and get behind them. Club's been through tough times in the past. They've been through losing streaks in the past, so it's not something that's new to the club. Club has a history of staying the course, and that's what we're going to do. And we'll stay the course. We'll keep providing the necessary support as we can, and myself as the leader of the club, but we're acutely aware of the position we're in. We're not happy to be there. And we know we're up against it, and this week again presents a new opportunity.
Okay, Sunday Sinbin on Triple M. That's Paul White, the chief executive of the Brisbane Broncos. How did the Broncos get in this mess? Well, since COVID, since the return, Parramatta and Roosters have both flogged the Broncos. Manly beat them in a close one, then Knights beat them convincingly. But the last two have probably really highlighted their plight. The Titans have beaten them, and then a very depleted Warriors. So let's give the platform back to you quickly, Gordon Tallis. As an absolute Broncos legend, how do you feel today?
I feel sorry for the players. I think, you know, I said after their first loss, I think it might have been to the Roosters or Parramatta. I was in at Fox and I'm sitting on the desk with Vonnie and she asked me the question and I was shocked and I felt sorry for the players. And I had a sense that they were getting asked to do something that they weren't capable of doing. We touched on the first hour that, you know, they've got to strip it all back. But I actually don't know whether Seibold's the man for the job. I said that right at the beginning. We had an Origin coach there that you saw Queensland with the turnover of the players, and Cameron Smith, Cooper Cronk, Jonathan Thurston, they've all left and we've been super competitive. So the style of football works. And I think the club was lacking leadership and it's not from the players. Take the players out of this. The decision has to come from the board, the coaches and all that, and they're not going to say that they've got a wrong job. They've got millions of dollars. They're all getting paid high salaries, and I think they're in a position of power, so they're not going to sack themselves. No one in this right world is going to sack themselves when they're on $1 million.
Gordon, can I ask you this? In all your years and all the success you had at the Broncos as a player, did the club ever change its defensive system or the way that it attacked very much?
No.
And see, that's a huge part of the issue here because
all knew what we were doing. So under the pump, sorry to cut you off. So under pressure, right? And like, I'm not talking pressure from the media. I'm talking that
in a game
that when you're tired and you're there and your guts is churning and your lungs are burning, that no matter what happens, you just automatically know what you're doing and you can keep on doing it under pressure. And that's what the Broncos were good at. And they've got talent. Don't think that this is not a talent. This is not, you know, the Warriors or the Dogs or the Titans that are out there scrapping to try to get that real defense. The roster's not the problem. I think it's just the players knowing what to do. I think the message is clouded at some. They can't have everybody pulling in the right direction because of their performances.
Hang on. Sorry, guys. If can I just ask you both a question? If you say the roster's not the problem, why do they have to last minute pull in two blokes that played grand finals for South 6 or 7 seasons ago if the roster's not the problem?
Because of imbecilic decisions, right, where they decided they wanted to move on. And this is where it's all, you know, Anthony, I know how much of a fan you are of the word imprimatur. All of this has happened under Anthony Seibold's imprimatur. He decided that he didn't want Josh Maguire at the club anymore, that he didn't want Cody Nikorima at the club anymore, that he didn't want all these players with immense experience. James Roberts is another one. He wanted to move all of those players on. And so as a result of that, he's got the roster that he's got. And they realised earlier this year, after re-signing Matt Lodge, and let's not forget that they still haven't re-signed David Fifita yet, and I continue to hear that he is just as much of a chance as going to the Gold Coast as what he is of staying at the Broncos, which is incredible.
We beat him.
Yeah, I'm.
We've won more games in the last 6 weeks than them.
And I'll tell you what, our clubs
are taking baby steps forward, but we're taking, I can see an improvement in the Titans, the way they're playing.
100%, mate. I agree. I was only being facetious.
I know what you're doing. You're having a go at me, bugger.
Let's listen to some audio of another Broncos legend, Steve Renoff, talking about Anthony Seibold and the Broncos.
He's used scapegoats over the last couple of weeks. He's dropped wingers. How you ever can blame wingers for a lot of stuff that's not going on in the middle or around the halves, and it's about biting the bullet. And look, I don't want to name names, but you know, you drop a winger, there's another half a dozen players that should be on the chopping block. But I don't know what goes on there internally. That doesn't happen. I don't know whether there's negotiations or they just can't afford to do that.
Steve, the headlines in Brisbane seem to suggest that Anthony Seibold is on borrowed time. Do you think that perhaps he won't see out this coaching contract at the Broncos?
Well, look, I'll be honest. I think there's a big chance. The reason being, Vaughn, is what I said before. You want to see a reaction out of the players. He's obviously not getting that out of the players at the moment, and that's a real concern. You know, I know they use a term about, you know, losing the players. I really think he has. I don't know whether, you know, it's too complex for the players, but I keep coming back to the old thing. It's a simple game. From what I'm hearing, it's all become a bit too hard. A lot of the players are struggling with understanding what is actually asked of them and what they need to do, and it's just probably a bit too much structure. And look, I'm only speaking, I'm not in there, but I hear a lot of things, and, you know, they're in all sorts, put it that way. They're not in a great space, but that's right across the board.
And he is an absolute legend of the Broncos, Stevie Renoff, and he talks about there as the coach or the players not understanding what the coach is saying. Hoops, we've all been in that position where we've had a boss, someone in charge, and the more they try and tell us, the more confused we are.
Yeah, look, as Steve Renoff just said there, they are in all sorts. That's the easiest way to sum it up. Look, Pearl's mail is spot on. And the Broncos, people inside the club and inside the bubble and all that can try and throw off all they want and say, oh, you don't know, you're not inside the bubble, you don't know what happens inside our four walls. Well, from an outside point of view, you've lost 6 straight, you've been beaten by the Gold Coast and the Warriors, you're anchored to the bottom of the table, you've leaked more points than a Brisbane team ever in the history of the club in the last 6 weeks. So clearly, you've got to have a look at yourselves, and clearly players are lost. And I hear exactly the same things that Steve Renoff just pointed to there about the fact that not everybody is on the same page. There are divisions within the dressing room. Easiest way to say it.
Now,
I'm trying to think, because everybody always asks me, and it's not a Bronco. I love the club. Right, Wally Lewis. And when Wally Lewis, like, I actually text him. I text Wally Lewis about a month ago to apologise for the performance, because that's why I wanted to play for the club, because he wore that jersey. I can't talk about this current crop. I actually like them all as human beings. They're actually all good. But, you know, there's if I was at that club now and I can't do my job, I'd walk away. When I hurt my neck, I knew I couldn't play the same. I told Wayne Bennett I wanted to retire. He talked me out of it. He said that the kids, that the young kids needed just to have me around training and just to run on the field and see me in the dressing room and be able to play with me to get them through the next period, right? So I stayed there. I wasn't at my best. But it doesn't look like there's any of that. If I was Darren Lockyer and I got the club into this position, if I was Paul White and I got the club into this position, if I was Anthony Seibold and I got the club into this position, I would walk away. Because I don't like losing, and I don't think that they have the answers. They keep on coming out. They keep on saying the same things. But if nothing changes, nothing changes.
Well, Seibold said in a press conference last week, Gordon, I'll know if I'm not the right person for the job anymore.
So ask me, needs to happen then?
Well, after the performance last night, surely he's got to be having some hard conversations today. He has to be second-guessing. Well, he has to be looking in the mirror.
We're all smashing Paul 100%. Anthony Milford, right? So, mate, we are hammering Anthony Milford. Oh, mate, he needs to look in the mirror, and he needs to do this, and he needs to do that. Some other people that have made decisions need to do exactly the same. The recruitment's Paul. Mate, I said, Pete, no, I don't know why they've gone for a youth policy. This is not the Holden Cup. This is not the Toyota Cup. This is not an under-20s competition. It's a man's game. Rugby league has been a man's game. It's a different game to any other. It asks you to go to places that have never been asked. I don't think too many sports ask you to go to the place that you need to be to play rugby league at the highest level. And they think that kids coming out wet between the ears that have been great school kids can go out there and learn their craft. If I didn't play with Wally Fulton Smith in reserve grade at the Dragons when I'm trying to take on a young South Sydney, well, they were an old pack with Wayne Chisholm and all these guys that were in our first grade. Yeah. They were taking my head off. Mate, they were hitting me so hard. And he's, hey, mate, get here. You don't need to do that. Do this. Come with me. Do that. So you learn on the run. The best coaches I've ever had are the players that I've played with on the run in that situation. Who's coaching the players now on the field?
They should never have let, from a forward point of view, like they've still got on paper, it's still a damn good forward pack.
I think Mitchell Moses got offered to him. You think James Maloney had some sort of experience. He's a winner. At some stage, James Maloney plays in grand finals, right?
Yep.
He's got that experience. He's got that. I think Will Chambers got offered to him.
Yep.
You lose Justin Hodges, a hard-nosed centre that comes from a great system in Melbourne. You know, you got Josh Maguire. You know, and I think Andrew Johns or someone wrote today, it might have been Jonathan, there was Jonathan Thurston, Cooper Cronk, Cameron Smith, Billy Slater that all wanted to play for the Broncos, and they missed out on those guys.
Hmm. Throw in Cameron Munster as well.
Munster, you know what I mean? Like Cherry Evans, like all these guys. So I don't know what they're, because I'm not there day to day. But I'm only asking the questions as a paid member, right? I was a fan of the Broncos, never thought I was going to play. I played for them. Now I'm back to being a fan.
Okay, let's take a break, boys, and we'll come back and discuss some more rugby league. By the way, Maroons poll, if you missed it, centres around the business last night with Ivan Cleary blowing kisses and waving goodbye to the West Tigers fans. Should he have done it? I say he shouldn't have done it.
Love you, Anthony.
Love you too, Gordon.
There's also
I just blew you a kiss, so you liked it.
Yeah, I do like it. I feel a love.
There's also an additional poll as well,
right.
Anthony, that's been added to your poll,
right.
And that is, should Maroon be allowed to be above the law and park in a mail zone in his car?
Yeah, well, I did park in a mail zone briefly because I was helping some old elderly people out who needed something at Woolies, Matraville. I helped them across Bunurong Road. People of Matraville, Little Bay and surrounding areas, you know I like to help out the local elderly people in the community, and that was all I was doing. You've got plenty of time on your hands. Hoops, why don't you just even start with your mother. Offer your mother a hand. Go around to your mother's. Mum, do you need anything from the shops?
Yeah, I help mum out all the time.
Yeah,
mate.
I don't believe you do, mate, because I speak to your mum quite regularly. I went to school with her. Oh. I went to school with her.
Hey, is that the one that the AVO's against?
All right.
Block his number.
Let's take a break. Let's Triple M rock the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Simbi. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Welcome back to it. Yeah, it's thanks to our mates at the Mitsubishi Triton. Paul Kent goes at three, and then we call it the happy hour here at Triple M. We break out the Cabanossi and cheese and a few Jets biscuits.
Mate, what about the lineup to get in here?
Cabanossi to yourself, thanks.
Well, I'm sorry, Gordon, what was that?
Mate, what about the lineup to get into the studio when happy hour was on?
Ah, they come in here, I break open the Cabanossi, the cheese, a couple of Jets crackers. Asparagus, occasionally we might have an asparagus and some artichokes and
we've
some stuff.
The chomps out, we've had the chomps Tony out. Sopranos, Mum.
And Ryan Girdle's just brought some healthy stuff in from
nice. I haven't had a chomp in 15 years.
Really?
How good's a chomp?
Yeah, yeah, they're lovely.
I was a little bit concerned. I was just talking to Tony outside. I don't think the chomp's been in the marketplace for a long, long time. So no. I think he's had them stored in his garage. And I have to say the chocolate was a little flaky. The caramel was a little chewy. So I don't know what Big Tone's been doing, but hey, it was nice to have a chomp.
Yeah, they're always welcome in the studio. You should stock them at Girdler's at Manly.
I should.
I only said to Girdler the other day, you need to stock
some. You're an ideas man.
I know, some chiquitos.
Everyone has ideas though, but it's hard to execute.
Is that
that's
right?
That's the issue. Oh. Everyone's got ideas.
Yeah. That's what people be saying to you all the time. You need to get
everyone,
this in the,
they
in
do.
The, you know.
Happens a bit.
I mean, I've been in at South Things with Gala. People say, you know what, Gala, you need to make a pie
you
that's
should
got
put
this
in
it.
A pie.
Yeah. You need a pie
bacon
with
and
that
egg
in
pie
it.
So I can have it in the morning.
Mm. They are good bacon and egg pies.
Oh, yeah.
Get them at the bakery up at Manly.
Is that right? It's a long way to go, though. For
Well, you've had a night out. It's not that far.
Depends where you finished up. Gary Girdler, as we like to call him these days. Gary, what did you think of the game last night for the Broncos? They've now lost six straight.
Yeah, well, firstly, congratulations to the Warriors. What an outstanding night for them and under duress, and it was good to see them get a win. Toddy Payton, too, seems to be doing a pretty good job. And I just had the feeling through the week that, you know, now he's had a little bit of time to, I don't know, get his fingerprints all over the side, that he might be able to do some positive things. And he got a really good performance out of him last night. Look, I know that a lot of the focus is on the Broncos' performances and the players and whatnot, but I was just driving in, listening to you guys, and I'm thinking, if you're an administrator, where does the buck stop? So if how do current administrators at that level get themselves into these positions? And wouldn't there be protective mechanisms you could put in place in a contract when you're bringing in a young coach, which is what Anthony Seibold was? And I think that would take pressure off the organisation. I think it would take actually a little bit of pressure off the coach and make everyone a little bit more accountable, because that's the problem at the moment. Anthony Seibold, I know he is doing his best, and I'm sure he's working really hard, but he's not actually accountable for the results, because nothing can happen to him because he's on $800,000 a year for the next 4 years.
Happy days.
So couldn't you – there's not a lot of coaching positions on offer, yeah? There's a lot of people that want to be a coach. Supply and demand, it's pretty basic, yeah?
Yep.
So if I'm Brisbane and I'm at a club like that and – Wayne's leaving and I'm bringing someone new to the organisation, and it's not a Craig Bell, I mean, it's not a Trent Robbins, someone that can just walk in and demand certain things within a contract that you probably have to go with to get them, but a guy like Seibold that's got an okay CV coming off the back of a pretty good season there at South Sydney with some quality players, couldn't you build mechanisms into his contract like, okay, so let's sit down. This is the roster. Do you believe that this can make the top eight next year?
Now, in the fair income department, part of being on the big bucks is accountability. And so your role as a host, Ryan's three quarters of the way through getting the Broncos up on the hoist and really starting
Hackers
to ask some pointed
questions.
Hackers
has been on the phone for 45 minutes.
And you've just fumbled the ball out of dummy half, got knocked out, and had to get taken off in the stretcher.
We're going
to
call you Anthony Ravalawa. what was I talking about? I can't even remember.
Sorry,
it was that long ago. I think it was getting to the point where if you both sit down and have a look at the roster, the coach, and I mean, because coaches and management are selling the organisation something, aren't they, when they go to a contract? It's like anything. It's a service that they're going to provide. So you have a look at the roster and you think, okay, well, do you believe as a coach you can get that roster to the top eight? Yes, I do. We believe as an organisation it's a top eight roster. Okay, so there's an $800,000 contract. We're going to give you $600,000. We're going to defer the other $200,000. Now, you need to hit these KPIs, which is, you know, making the top eight. Now, there's also a termination clause in there. Now, we're going to be considerate along the way. If you get lots of injuries, we'll take all that in consideration. But if halfway through the year, the end of the year, you're not doing the job, you're not on track to make the finals, you're not handling the roster well, things aren't going well, you're not getting a rec from the players, Well, then, one, we pay you $600,000 at the back end of the year, and two, there's an option for us to terminate your services because you're not providing the service that you're selling to us right now. Year two might be a different story. We might think, oh, okay, well, in year two, you're going to make the top six, so then it's a top six, top four, deferred money, and that. And then you stagger that through the term of the contract, and therefore the coach, Anthony Seibold, who probably a little bit embarrassed about how much money he's earning at the moment and probably feels like he's in a really vulnerable position because he's got this long-term deal and the organisation aren't willing to terminate it because of certain things, not about his performance but about the financial remuneration, puts him in a tough spot at the moment as well. So, Hoops, you know more about that side of the business than I do. Are clubs able to put those sort of clauses and things in contracts, and why don't they?
Absolutely they are, and it's staggering and a complete failure that the Broncos administration and the Broncos management didn't factor those types of clauses into this contract. Because you're talking about a rookie coach, and we spoke earlier today about Anthony Seibold's coaching CV, and I had a lot of people contact me during the week just past about it. And you go back to his time at the Mackay Cutters, never made the finals, had a 40% win ratio in the 2 years that he had there. Then he went to the Melbourne Storm under 20 system, never made the finals there, finished ninth, 11 wins out of 24. Couple of years under Bellyache, okay, of course you're going to pick up, you know, some immense skill, development, all the rest of it, off one of the best in the business. Then he went to Manly under Trent Barrett as the defence coach in 2016. They finished 13th and leaked 563 points.
Wow.
So in the Fair Dinkum Department log, if you actually go, right, and get the microscope out, or as Anthony loves to say, get it up on the hoist and have a good look all around, 180 degree, 360 degree, 720, the full works, the full circuit, there are issues there, and it should have been done. It's a failure by management.
So the deal, but the deal was done before they actually went to the market and started asking coaches. Hey, because I've heard. So I'm here, and I stay out of all that backroom talk because it doesn't do me any favors because I can't keep secrets. But Kevin Moulders had to ring Darren Lockyer to go to the meeting because Lockyer wasn't even going to go give one of his ex teammates, his captain, the respect to go and listen to his interview, which meant that if you're on the coaching staff, Lockie, that's going to pick the coach, don't you go to the interview process? Mm. So in other words, the interview process was done. And if all those things that you spoke about, Hoops, and you dug for how long? 20 minutes, an hour? On Google search?
Wasn't that tricky. A few people a couple of people during the week actually contacted me and said, you should have a look at this.
So if you can find out in a week and you're going to sign a bloke for a long-term deal, wouldn't you think that the chairman, the CEO and Lockie and those blokes would have known that?
Mm. Yep, 100%. And we keep coming back to it, Gordon. We keep coming back to it.
But they sign him on 5 years.
Then. Yep, and who's his manager? Who's Anthony Seibold's manager? It's Isaac Moses. It's Isaac Moses, right? And he's got so much control over that club, right? And my view is that the power brokers had blind faith in what he was selling. They went after Bellamy initially. They shot for the stars. They thought they were a chance of getting Bellyache. When that didn't come to fruition, the next best rising star was Anthony Seibold. And in fairness, he won the Dally M Coach of the Year that season. You know, he had come in to the NRL with a big bang and a lot of hype around him.
But that was after Paul White, I think, shook Kevvy Walters' hand and said, you're the next coach. Come back and sit under Wayne.
Seibold's appointment, though?
Look, I'm not 100% sure, but I thought Kevvy's manager was Isaac Moses as well.
It was, but I don't think he is anymore. I think he's got somebody else in now.
Boys, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll cover off on a little bit more of this, and we'll have a look at some of these games this afternoon. A couple of beauties. The first one should be, as Gordy would say, a ding-dong battle. Newcastle and Manly. We've got that for you. Dan's going to call it as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Welcome back to it. Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to the Mitsubishi Triton. You just can't frighten. We've got Ryan Girdler here at the moment. Gordon Tallis, James Tricep Super. Look, we were going to drop off the Anthony Seibold thing here, but you wouldn't believe who's just walked into the studio. The man that we like to call Mr. Delicious. A big old dose of brown sugar. It is, of course, my man, Wendell Saylor. And, mate, you are close in the Fair Dinkum Department, close personal friends with Anthony Seibold. Have you spoke to him?
Look, I haven't spoken to him in the last 7 days, but once a week I try and talk to him, and I don't try and talk footy to him because, you know, as much as we're all disappointed with how the Broncos are going at the moment, you know, especially guys like me and Gordy, and you've got legends like Steve Renoff and Lazarus coming out. I just think for me sometimes he's one of my best mates. So I just, you know, I want to be there just in case he, you know, just needs a friend to talk to.
I wonder what he – do you think that this is more pressure on him than he could ever have imagined?
Look, I think he's a smart enough guy to understand the job that he had at hand. I think he knew and he thought he was up to it. But I just think with some of the players that he's released, some of the injuries, obviously the pressure from the fans. And I think one thing I don't think he thought was going to be that hard was the media pressure in Brisbane, the scrutiny. And then when you get Wayne Bennett coming out and just throwing a grenade like he did last week, he obviously doesn't need that. You know, he's got a wife and three kids, but it's part of the game. I'd hate to be an NRL coach. Obviously, Paul McGregor, it's not going well for me at the moment between the Dragons and the Broncos. So yeah. I get Broncos and Dragons fans always saying, mate, what's going on at these clubs? I'm not inside the four walls, so I don't know, but I'm disappointed with how the Broncos. Like, I know the effort was there last night, but, geez, that game was there to be won.
What do you do, Dale? Like, I mean, Oates got dropped last week.
Yeah.
And I thought that came from left field. I didn't understand that. One of the most experienced players in a really young side and a guy that you've been sort of dabbling in the back row, but he's a winger.
Yes.
There's some other guys there on Big Coin, some senior players. I know you lack some senior players in that group, but isn't it time now that, you know, heads roll? At what point do you start making some changes to, you know, Darius Boyd if he's not performing, Anthony Milford if he's not doing what he needs to be doing? I mean, I know you mightn't have too many guys to bring in, but if you don't start holding these senior guys
accountable,
and they're not accountable, I mean, the young guys are never going to learn.
Yeah, look, I think for me, I think the biggest – look, I know Darius has tried this year, and you just know, as an outside back, and I know it too, my last year, you know, I got a bit slower and I couldn't beat anyone on the outside, so I'd mark up on someone's outside, and that's when I knew I sort of had to retire. You know, when Darius gets the ball, he's trying hard, but he's coming back inside. You know when you're defending him, he's not going to beat you for speed. But for me, I think Milford would be a favourite player of mine for a couple of years. He hasn't done anything since 2015. Mm. He's played well in patches. He had an option in his favour. Seabold's got to pull the trigger on him, I reckon. Just sit him out for a couple of weeks and get that hunger back. Because I know there's pressure on Milf, but he's their highest paid player. He's the bloke that you want to see lead from the front.
You make a great point there, because when you're playing Gerds, and we all know if the bloke beside you, if you don't think that he's playing that good and he's not getting dropped, the standards, you know, the culture is the standards that you're prepared to walk past. And if he's being hammered and you don't think he's standing up, he's missing the tackles, not putting his body on the line, well, that's the standard. That's the culture of the club right there. And as a young player, you're seeing this guy, the highest paid player at the club, well, let's take money out, but the highest profile player at the club not performing, well, what message is that sending you? As I wrote 2 weeks ago, I played with a guy by the name of Alan Langer. He would tell you to get off the field.
Yeah.
The 20th minute, 30th minute, 50th minute. If he didn't believe that you had the standards to play in that jersey, it was embarrassing. Hey, Wendell, because I felt sorry for the blokes he said it to, and then I'd keep my head down just in case he was looking at me a few times. But he'd say, get him off.
Mate,
get him off. He's not having a go.
I think Alan Langer was a bloke who held us more accountable, because if he put a cross kick over and I drop it, I'd just go, don't look at him, don't look at him. And I'd look over, he'd give me the death eyes, and then he'd go to me, catch it, or let's get the F off the field. And then, you know, and you just know. And he's a littlest bloke. He got us out of so many games. You see the size of him? And I'd come in and do a hit-up. Do a hit-up. No one's holding certain players to be accountable at the club at the moment, it doesn't look like.
It's not just on the field at the moment, though, for the Broncos. It's also off the field. And Gerds touched on it earlier. Paul White's been the CEO at the Broncos since October 2010.
Yeah.
In that time,
wow.
One grand final. But aside from that, five coaches, and he's the bloke who presided over hiring Anthony Seibold, signing him on the five-year deal, and giving him the one-year option in his favour. So essentially, it's a six-year contract with no clauses, no exits.
No Santa
Hard
Claus.
Hard questions got to get asked there.
All right.
But not just that, just quickly, even, I suppose, we know with Seibold there, and even the way that it's handled with the Wayne Bennett stuff, the Anthony Griffin stuff, for me, mate, people in Queensland, even around, like the Broncos, they're an iconic club. People are just laughing at the way the club's been handled now, not just on the field, but off the field.
Everybody's
as well.
Turned on them up here to a point. I've watched a lot of footy for a long, long time. I've never watched a fan in our game take off their jersey and throw it on the field. It happened at a Broncos game last night.
The fish rots from the head down, they say, Maroon.
Good point. We'll leave it on that. That's a great thought for the day. Ryan, have a great call this afternoon, Newcastle Manly.
Thanks, Anthony.
And Wendell, thank you for your time too, mate.
Thank you, mate. Back-to-back calls. That's what I do for Triple M.
Good on you. You're a great man. And back-to-back invoices, that is. Back-to-back invoices. We're going to take a break. Going to come back and preview those games. Manly, Newcastle, Rabbitohs, Doggies, as Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. Only 10 minutes away from kickoff this big game this afternoon, and it is a massive game too. The Newcastle Knights taking on Manly. Now, at the moment, we see the Knights in sixth position and Manly down there in ninth, but Manly are travelling along okay. The biggest issue for Manly at the moment will be obviously no Dylan Walker, but more importantly, and not to sell Dylan short, but no Tommy Trbojevic either. And that's going to be the issue.
Yeah, the numbers don't lie, Anthony. Just a tick over 30% of their games when Tommy Turbo doesn't play. And then when he does, it's way up over the 80%. So you've only got to look at the impact that he had when he returned into the New South Wales State of Origin arena last year. He's a special talent, one of the best players in the competition, and certainly the Seagulls will want him back sooner rather than later. I'll tell you what the unspoken massive advantage for the Seagulls today is, back to Brookvale. Mm. I know they call it Lotto Land these days, but it is a fortress. Their players are going to love the fact that they are back on home soil. Yes, I'm expecting a big response from the Knights given how flat they were against the Cowboys. They missed the kick and then had to fight really hard to get any sort of impression back into the game. But I think you cannot underestimate the Seagulls being back at Brookvale.
Okay, but this Newcastle side, though, Hoops, Kalyn Ponga at fullback, Bradman Best is back in the side, obviously Mitchell Pearce, Clemmer, Saifidi. That's a good... They've taken a couple of years to build a really good roster.
They have. They have taken a few years. And a lot of that credit's got to go to Nathan Brown.
Absolutely.
Because Tyson Frizzell hasn't arrived yet. He'll arrive next season. But what Adam O'Brien has been able to do is put a defensive system in place, which is better than what we've seen at Newcastle for many, many seasons. So with that intact, you'd have to think they are a good chance against the Seagulls today. They can beat them at Brookvale. The thing I'll say about Manly, though, you know, and you just touched on some of the Knights' better players in their roster. Yeah, the Seagulls have got a damn good roster too. Adam Fanua-Blake's one of the best and most unsung front rowers in the game. Marty Tapau is up there as well. Daly Cherry-Evans is a Queensland and Australian halfback. And Jake Trbojevic is a middle forward with a 5'8 skill. So the Seagulls are by no means out of this contest.
No, absolutely. So you who are you tipping?
I'm leaning towards Manly back at Brookvale. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am leaning towards Manly back at Brookvale.
All right, that game will be on your radio in about 8 minutes' time across the Triple M network, or you can always get it on the Triple M NRL app, which you should get so that you've got it in time for when finals and Origin and whatnot come around. The next game, of course, we've got that on the Triple M network too. The boys are doing a doubler. And that will be the South Sydney...
A doubler.
They're doubling up. Big old... You don't do that in Fox League.
No,
you guys are too fancy.
That's what you used to do, that at Sugar Reef back in the old days,
doubler.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
The old double up.
Did you ever see me at Sugar Reef?
You used to call it double dump, whatever that was. No, two cracking games. Seagulls and Knights, and then obviously followed up by your Bunnies hosting the Bulldogs out at... Where is that game, ANZ or Bankwest?
That game is at Bankwest.
Bankwest, very good. So, look, you'd be expecting South Sydney a little disappointing last week in terms of their execution against the Panthers. So you'd be thinking they should be able to handle the Bulldogs this afternoon, are you? Or?
Well, I think they should. I really think at the moment, Hoops, those last couple of teams, poor old Doggies, which we love, and as everyone said, they give 110%. But they just don't have the players, do they?
It's not so much just not the players, Anthony. It's also the points in terms of being able to score points with the roster that they have got. They can get themselves into decent position on the field, but then when it comes to pulling the trigger and actually executing points onto the scoreboard, that's where they've really been found lacking this season. And with the Bunnies, you'd have to think with all the strike power that they have, from Latrell Mitchell to Cody Walker to Adam Reynolds to Dane Gagai to Jimmy the Jet, you'd have to think that they're going to have enough points in them to account for the Dogs.
Okay, just getting on to staying with the Dogs just for a second, because you have to give them credit for this. Not every name is getting thrown at the Dogs, but if it's a big name, the Dogs are ready to have a decent crack at them. Now, they won't see this Luke Thompson play today, but we will see him in the next couple of weeks. They get him, they get a couple of other big names. Kieran Foran starts to get a little bit of
regularity to his football, and they could move in the right direction next year.
Kieran's playing great. Since Kieran's been back this season, and obviously, you know, he suffered a really hard injury playing for the Kiwis last year, and initially the fears were that he was probably going to miss the majority of this year. Now, when you think this is the third year of a three-year deal at Belmore for Kieran, and he has been injured a lot of the time, but when he's on the field, you cannot question Kieran's courage. Mm. He still plays as brave as anybody, digs into the line, and he can still create points for teams.
Yeah.
So I know from a Canterbury-Bankstown point of view, as much as they don't want to pay quite as much as he's on at the moment, I think he's on about $1.2 million this
good
season.
Good Lord.
That would probably need to halve, but I do know the Bulldogs are still interested in trying to retain Kieran. The issue the Dogs have got is that they can't make a decision around their coach. They want to support Dean Pay for this year, but nobody has been able to give us a definitive answer about who is actually going to coach the joint next year. That's okay. The problem.
We'll catch you on Fox League. The big game's coming up next on Triple M. It's Manly versus Newcastle. We do it thanks to our mates at Ream, Australia's favourite, and so too the Mitsubishi Triton. Triple M rocks the footy.
Thanks to McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.